Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. You know, I mean, here we are, middle of July, and, you know, everything seems like it's getting better. I hope that's true. Weather, you know, we don't know from hour to hour.
Well, yeah, that's true. And that's kind of weird because normally by now, you know, it's just like we're I remember in past years you were talking about like triple digits and, you know, it's the middle of July and you can't even touch the door handle of the car or the steering wheel and you got to open the doors and let it cool down for a while. So if you haven't hit that yet, then I suppose that's probably a win.
I think you're right. Well, and of course, you know, we're not having hot days. You know, 79, 85, I mean, it says feels like 100 some days.
Oh, wow.
But it is not 100. And then it's rained almost every day. It says, well, you're going to have a storm this afternoon or a storm in the morning. You know, that's the way it goes. So the weather is unpredictable.
It is. That's for sure. And it's weird. It's different. But, you know, I mean, because isn't it? I'm trying to remember now. Wasn't it the last 2 years that there's been such a severe drought and, you know, there was...
And fires. We had all those fires last year. And we had drought upon drought. People lost so much they had to sell a lot of their cattle. You know, the crops didn't make. And hay was almost non-existent last year.
I remember
their hay did not come up. Because of the drought, and this year everybody's got hay.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I remember you were scrambling just to have hay shipped in.
I was.
You couldn't
and
find
then
any.
I was scrambling. Where do I get it here? I'd get 2 bales here, 3 bales there. And this year, I talked to a guy and he sent 7 bales at one time.
Really? Oh wow! So
yes.
You're ready to go? You got plenty of rations.
I'm ready to go. I'm in the high cotton, you know.
Yeah, you are. Oh wow!
I mean, you know, that's important. If the llamas have got hay, we're okay.
Yeah, keep the llamas happy at all costs.
And we've got a llama fixing to have another baby.
What?
I mean, it's imminent.
Another one?
Know? Yes, it isn't Fudge, but one of the others.
Oh, my word. I thought, how do I say this? I thought you had taken care of that.
Well, we thought so, but maybe he was busy before we fixed it. I mean, you know, it's just now showing up. That could be the whole deal right there. I mean, you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking now. Because I don't think we're ever going to quit having babies. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm about to give up. But did you know that all of our llamas are named after candy?
Are they
did
really?
You thought about that?
No, I didn't
One's
realize.
One's named Hershey. I mean, they're all named after candy.
Really? So you got Fudge?
The grandkids named every one of them after candy.
Well, see, now I love that. I like that kind of thinking.
Yeah, we have Hershey. We have Fudge. I can't even think of all the names. You know, when you've got 17, it's hard to name them one by one.
And I'm just impressed that that they could remember 17 forms of candy. That's pretty impressive.
Oh, these kids can remember 17 forms of candy. I mean, you know.
Oh, I can usually remember Reese's, and then they'll be named Reese's if they were over here.
Yeah. No, they didn't name any of them that. It's all chocolate candies, things like that.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
See, now, if I was to holler out a name like Hershey, I would expect, like, you know, like actually chocolate bars. I'd be kind of bummed if I didn't have chocolate show up.
Well, see, that's all the dark ones are named after chocolate.
Neat.
Because a lot of them are dark brown with a little bit of black on them.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So have they,
all those are named like that.
Have they picked out the new one yet? The name for the new one?
Oh, they've went down every day this week to see if the baby's here. And the llama keeps going and getting the pond. She's getting too warm.
Oh, really?
Yes, she's getting too warm.
Wow.
But remember, we have several babies.
Yeah.
Now that are 2 or 3 months old, so she's going to join those.
Hmm. I'm going to submit a name. My vote for the name of the new llama is going to be Tootsie Roll.
Tootsie Roll. I'll tell them that.
Yeah.
Tootsie Roll. That would be a good one.
Yeah.
You know,
I was waiting for you to come back with, we already have a Tootsie Roll.
No, we don't have a Tootsie Roll.
Really?
That's one I haven't heard. But the other day, the vet said, I'd like a picture of every llama and their names.
Oh, my word.
Now, that took some time to do.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, you know, you have to go down there, take a picture of each llama, and then put the name on it and everything. And send it in.
Are you able to, like, look at them and tell who they are, or do they look very similar?
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I know if it is.
A lot of them have little quirks, you know. Hershey's the one that likes to go and visit the neighbor's donkeys. I mean.
Oh, my gosh.
They're very friendly, you know.
Clearly.
They are. I mean, the donkeys come over, and sometimes they get out of their pasture, and they come over and visit the llama.
Oh, my word.
And we're trying to tell them to go home. I mean, you know. But thank goodness we don't have ducks or chickens.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, my word.
I mean, if we had to keep up with them, I think it'd be just too much.
I don't know that you could. You don't have. You're going to have to start hiring like a zookeeper or something to keep track of just the four-legged creatures at the house.
I know, and you know everybody else has got gooses. They've got some ducks, and we don't have any permanent ducks or anything on the pond. They come in the fall, but they're not usually here.
So, wait a minute. In the fall, ducks come from someplace else, hang out in the pond, and then leave?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Really? Oh, wow. They're
flying south, so they'll come by and stay on the water for a while.
So they vacation at your place.
That's right. They vacation here. Then they'll go over to some other pond, stay there, and, you know.
Wow.
Everybody's very friendly.
I'm sure. Because I'm thinking, are you sure you're not making this up? But you can't make stuff like this up.
I'll send you some
pictures. Oh, yeah.
The next time the ducks come by, I'll send you a picture.
Oh, yeah. Send me
now,
some
if
pictures.
If you'd like a picture of the neighborhood turtle, I can get you a picture of that. The baby rabbits, I can get you a picture of that. I mean, those are very handy because the neighbors have already sent me the pictures of the turtle. You know, and then the snake they wanted to rehome last week. Oh. Remember that?
Yes.
So, you know, there's plenty of to go around.
Wow. These are the things that you're texting people about. This is awesome.
That's right.
Well, I saw the picture of Bella the other day, and oh my word, I've never seen such a cute little puppy in all my life.
She is adorable, isn't she? She's my. One of the prettiest puppies in the world.
Goodness. Wow.
And Bella loves everybody.
And she gets along with all of the llamas. And she hadn't seen the ducks, though. She's too young.
And she plays with a cat and whatever comes up in the backyard. You know, she's not too hard on them. But no, we don't let her go down to the llamas. She's too little.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine that's probably too much. It'd be overload, I would think.
Oh, wow. I mean, she would like to, I can tell you.
Yeah, send me pictures of the ducks when they come in. I'd love to see that. I can't even imagine.
Oh, and if the turkeys come by, I'll send you a picture of them.
Oh, golly.
I mean, everybody has these turkeys. And the turkeys do come. There'll be six or seven of them, and they'll come by and stay a few days. And then they move out. They move on down the road.
Wow. So it literally is a stop on the highway for all the creatures that are wandering around or migrating.
That's right.
Oh, my word.
I mean, everything comes by. You know, little rabbits come out from under the gazebo sometimes.
Wow. I'm picturing like Winnie the Pooh and the gang in the forest that are all like.
Sometimes I think it is.
How do you get anything done with all this going on?
Well, sometimes I try to ignore it.
Wow.
Unless I'm called upon, you know.
Yeah. Are there any? I assume there's no animal fights outside that you have to go break up.
Oh, no. Llamas don't fight. They're lovers. They like everybody.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Just an off chance, if this financial thing doesn't work out, you could probably sell tickets for people to come into the zoo and see
That's
all
right.
of this.
That's right. We could charge them to come see the animals.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people have never seen a llama.
I know. I never have.
On Next Door the other day, they were wanting information on llamas. Do they do this? Do they do that? I said, no, they don't do any of your questions. I said, you know, they're nice. They're lovable. They would never hurt anybody. And, you know, they use them in all the hospitals anymore in the nursing homes.
What? They do? Really? Like,
yes.
It's like the creatures that go in, not, what are they called?
Like dogs do.
Yeah.
Llamas do the same thing.
Do they?
You can lead them right up to a patient's bed. They're very nice. You can pet them. You know, they're nice creatures. They really are.
Wow. I did not know that. That's really cool.
I saw pictures of one the other day in a hospital.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
How nice. Oh, I had no
idea. They're such nice, gentle things.
Oh, my gosh. Do they, like, lick your face and all that like dogs do?
Well, they just kind of want to kiss you on the side of the cheek or something. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, wow. All right. We better talk about money or...
Okay. Let's talk about money. Let's talk about making some money.
Yes.
You know, that's what we're here for. I know we have the menagerie and everything, but we should talk about other people's money and making money for other people. That's what our job is. You know, we've been in business, I was just thinking, since 2003. We've done a lot of things for a lot of customers since then, most of it positive, and people have made a lot of money. You know, I was just looking the other day, you know, this month we've had $4 million of maturities. If we could have $4 million every month, it'd really be a wonderful thing. It would really be a blessing, I can tell you.
Wow. So, $4 million.
Yes.
Oh.
$4 million this month. So a lot of people got paid, and these were mostly all early maturities.
Really?
None of them went over, and you know, since about 2022, 2023, they're not going over because we've changed everything up. We're doing a better job. And how many deals can you do and make the kind of money that people make on the investment?
That's true.
You know, the average is about 26%. That's an average. A lot of people make a lot more and some make less. You know, we're always finding a policy that we can buy and they can make 29, 30, or 40%.
Wow. You know, it's like I'm sitting here as you're talking, I'm kind of thinking to myself, you know, I haven't heard you talk a whole lot in as far back as I can remember, at least a couple of years. It seems like you haven't really talked about policies going over. And so it's kind of interesting that you bring that up. I know we talk all the time about how the data is getting better. And, you know, you have more reporting and you have more information and it's just improving that way. But I hadn't really thought about that before. So, I mean, I guess that's just the proof is in the pudding, I guess.
That's right. And, you know, we strive to do a better job. The life expectancies we get are, you know, a lot better than they used to be. Lapidus is so good. You know, I love Lapidus. I think they're better than all the others, and that's who we really like to use because the Lapidus ones have, you know, come in on time and early. And those guys are scientists, and that's what we really need.
Yeah, that's like top-of-the-line experts.
It is. I think they really are. And sometimes people are jealous of them, and they'll say, well, that can't all be true. Well, let me tell you, if they'd look at our books, they'd know it's true.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it speaks for itself as to what comes due and how soon it comes due. But as I said, these guys are scientists, and they're really doing a good job because they really get in there and delve into what makes it work. And, of course, you know, every time we bid on a policy, We get the health information. We get the doctor's opinions, the lab work, everything in order to make a good decision on it. And then the premiums are really important. And people used to, they didn't mind if the premiums were, 2.5-3%. Now they don't want them that way. So if it is that high, we escrow extra money. We might escrow for 5 years instead of three. So sometimes we do really escrow high if it's a great policy and we really want it for the client. But most of the time, the premiums are less than 1%. Sometimes they're a little over 1%, but that's the average. And that makes it really worth doing, because if you know that that premium is 0.5% or less, you don't have any risk.
Yeah,
so that really makes it good.
You really have honed down the premiums quite a lot over the last several years.
We have, and I think just the last 3 years, we've really got that premium in line.
Yeah. I mean, even just that 1%, like the difference between 2-2.5% and 1%. I mean, that's a really big deal.
It's a big deal,
yeah,
to get it down that low. And now people ask us, what are your parameters? What do you require? And we tell them, we want that premium to really be low where there's no risk.
Yeah. You almost look at the policies that you're buying and the parameters that you have in place and the guidelines and the thresholds that you're looking at. It makes it very a very targeted kind of investment. It leaves very little to chance, just because you are so specific in what you're looking for, and it's not just a willy-nilly coin toss and we'll take this, we'll take that. You really have it down to specifically what you're looking for. You know what you're going after, and you don't even bid on anything that doesn't even fit that. So,
and it's billions and billions a year. People are selling their policies. People like us, companies like us, are buying them, making it available for their clients. So it started out, a few million a year, then it's went to billions a year.
Wow.
So it is big. And as I said the other day, a lot of the banks are getting into it. We don't know how they're going to figure out how to do it. They know nothing about life settlements. But everybody wants to do a life settlement because it's a policy written by a life insurance company. So first of all, you've taken all the stock market out. You've got the mutual funds out. All that's by the wayside. You're doing a life insurance policy on somebody that's got cancer. And you can't beat that kind of an investment. I think it's the best thing you could do if you're young enough to do it. There comes a time when you're too old to do it. But if your mind is still fertile, you've got the money to invest, and you can make decisions, it's a good thing. The people that we do business with, the life providers, they send us policies every week, and we bid them out. You don't just automatically get them, and we're bidding against some of the top companies. So, we have to bid it hard and down to the point, and then we have to go tell the client, okay, here's a policy. It's 26 months. It's breast cancer. And here's what all they know about the breast cancer person. So, you can read all that and make an intelligent decision if you want to go in that policy. And all the companies but one are A and A-plus rated. We only do one, which is Genworth, that's B rated, but they're worth several billion. So it's safe to use them. And otherwise, we don't use any B-rated companies.
Yeah, I mean, they just happen to have the foundation to back it up. So,
That's right. You've also
been working with them for several years, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And our attorney, when we turned that first one down, it came in real early, he said, Genworth's okay. They've got billions, and they have a parent company worth a lot more than that.
Mm.
So he said it was all right. So, that's the only B-rated company we work with. But when we do this, everybody has a chance. They can sit on the sidelines and not make anything, or they can go into a policy, turn it over in 2 years, 6 months, whatever it is, and do it again and again. And our people do. And most people stay fully invested all year long. That way they've got a lot of policies coming in. You know, we have three doctors or four, I think it's three, that are invested with us. We have lawyers. We have people in the oil and gas business. Most of our people are in the oil and gas business. I mean, what else would they be in Midland, Texas?
Well, that's true. That's kind of like our thing.
You know, so, you know, we have some ranchers, but mostly people either own oil companies, they work for oil companies, they've been there 25, 30 years. When they get ready to retire, they'll call me and say, Faye, we've been listening to you on Saturday mornings for years, but now we're going to retire and we're ready to put our money with you. I love that when they do.
Is it a good idea to wait until people retire to start life settlements, or should people start
early? No, if you've got the funds, it's best to start. You know, if you're 40 years old, if you're going to be worth something someday, you want to start then and start putting money in something that is conservative, that your principal's always safe. Because let me tell you something, if you lose your principal, you've got to start over. Your wife might or might not divorce you. Let me tell you, it gets serious when you lose their money. Because, you know, that trip she was going to take to Europe, that trip to Vegas or wherever, if you lose the money, it's out.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to scrimp after 25 years. You know? The children are grown. The house is paid for. And she thought she was going to live it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you tell her, I'm sorry. You know, we just had a bad downturn, you know. And they don't like that very well.
Well, that's a really nice way to say that.
I mean, well, it's true. I mean, I know a lot of people, and I know a few people that have gotten a divorce out here. But I think we've only had three divorces in all these years.
Seriously? Like that's legit? Like, people have actually...
I mean, I'm talking about legit. I've never mentioned that on the air. I don't know if I should have or not. But we have had three that did get a divorce.
And, oh, my gosh.
You know, when they lose money, it's just things are harder to live with each other. It's hard to look at each other over the breakfast table, and you're thinking every minute... That didn't have to happen, you know?
I always thought you were just kind of like, you know, being silly.
No, I wasn't being silly. What was silly is them losing their money.
Yeah, that was unnecessary. You know,
it is unnecessary. And so, you know, I always say guard your principal. If you can do something conservative where the principal's guaranteed, the interest rate will take care of itself. You know, people that do deals with us, you know, they make good money, more than you would make at the bank. I don't know if it's more than the stock market or not, but from what people tell me, lots of times it is, because I talked to a guy this week, and he said he looked at his portfolio, and even though they're talking about, you know, this made money, that made money, he said he hadn't made any money in the last 5 years.
Ooh.
It's just sitting there. If your money is just sitting still, you may not be ready for retirement. You're going to have to work another 5 years.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to hear that.
No, especially when they're right on the brink. You don't want to...
That's right.
Ugh.
And if you've been investing with your company, 401k, all these years, or you've got an IRA, you know, you can do a transfer to us. We put you in a lot of policies. Your principal's always safe, and you always know what you're going to make. We tell you up front, this is how much this policy will pay. So you know when it comes in, you get your principal, and you're going to get your interest. Nobody's going to hold that back.
Hmm. Yeah.
So you always get paid principal plus the interest.
I can't think of any other investment where you can have that kind of information ahead of time.
No, mm-hmm. I don't either, where they say, okay, this is in a life insurance policy, and I think that's the safest planet right now. I see all these things, like this, the new Bernie Madoff deal is all this cattle this guy's supposed to have. I'm sure y'all have all read about it.
Oh, geez.
He was doing Georgia and Texas, and he told all these people, I've got thousands and thousands of head of cattle, and I'm buying them low and selling them high. And nobody ever checked the stockyards.
Oh.
And when somehow this came to light, and they sent a banker out finally, and it's millions of dollars, folks, that everybody's got invested in this. And they went out there and he started counting cattle. He said, "There's no way there's thousands of cattle here." He said, "There's probably 700 to 1,000 cattle here, and we're looking for thousands and thousands of cattle."
Oh.
We've loaned him $500 million.
Oh, my goodness. $500 million.
$500 million looks like right now.
Wow.
It's another Bernie Madoff deal. And, you know, I think something that with a life insurance company, we know they'll pay. We don't have to worry about their credentials. They're A-rated. We know they'll pay. So we're in good shape on that. We know what we're doing. And we've been doing this, as I said, 23 years.
That's amazing. I mean, that's a quarter of century,
I know.
Essentially. So.
And, you know, we're A-rated with the Better Business Bureau, have been for a long time. We're an accredited business because we take care of our business and we do it right.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't have an A-plus rating with them if we didn't do things right.
Well, you know, and then that's like the technical side of it, but you have a lot of new investors that will come to you from referrals. And here's the thing. The reason why that's a big deal is because, I don't know about you, but I have never referred anything to any friend or family member that was terrible because they would hate me for it for the rest of time.
They'll hate you if they lose their money.
Yeah, it's... Oh, you know, people only recommend things that they actually strongly believe in. And a lot of your investors have been with you for, you know, several years and have made tons of money. And so that's why they can go off and tell other people and say, "Hey, you need to call Faye," because they have the proof right there. They've done it. They've literally.
Well, I've got several couples that older couples, they came with me, been with me a long time. And now. Their daughter and husband and all the children are investing with me after all this other, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, we start out with one family member, and before it's over with, you know, we have a lot of them.
Yeah. And that's how it works. And that's probably one of the greatest, compliments ever is to have that many people essentially vouch for the fact that, hey, I've been doing this for a long time and I have consistently been making tons and tons of money. You know, I mean, we can look at all the statistics and all the metrics and all the data in the world, and that's all great, and it's super important. But those referrals, the people that recommend you to other people, I mean, it just speaks so many volumes.
And we
have
so many family members, you know, in a deal with us.
Yeah.
Some of my oldest customers, their relatives heard about us. They came in. The aunts heard about us, the nieces heard about us, and they've all been investing with us ever since. And they're conservative. When they come with you, let me tell you, they are conservative. You know, I mean, they don't invest in anything unless it's the safest thing in town.
Yeah.
I haven't known the rest of the family a long time, but I know how conservative they are.
Yeah. And
each policy... You know, they do one policy at a time. A lot of people don't. A lot of people say, "Okay, I've got $500,000 here. Let's put it in different policies now."
Yeah.
These people, they're so conservative, they do one at a time.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the only people I've ever heard do that. But they're old school. It's old thinking. They do it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
It
makes
sense. That's just the way it is. Yeah. And we have people that have been with us so long that they don't even use email. That's how far back people go with us.
Wow. I remember those days fondly.
When we want to talk to them, other than picking up the phone, you have to send a letter.
Oh, wow.
So we have old-fashioned people, new-fashioned people, all kinds. But some of them, you know, do things different than everybody else.
Yeah, and you'll accommodate no matter how people do their...
That's right. And we have people, and I love this part, when we're doing contracts, and we're doing contracts right now because people have invested in a lot of new policies, we send it out to them, and they come to the office to sign it.
Really?
And
in person?
I think they like to visit everybody. I mean, I really do.
Yeah.
Because they could email it, they could mail it, and we'll call them and ask them. They'll say, no, I'll just come to the office. I'll just come to the office. And we have a lot of people that come to the office in Midland and visit and sign papers. We've got one guy that he's been, his wife died several years ago, and about once or sometimes 2 months, he always comes by, and he straightens that big picture there in the lobby every time. He doesn't know that I know that about him.
Well, now he does.
Now he knows if he's listening this morning. But he does. He'll come and straighten that big, beautiful Western art there in the lobby. He always does.
Yeah.
It's not quite straight. Well, so a lot of our clients have got a lot of, you know, interesting things about them. You know, I've always wanted to write a book about all the Texas trivia. I might should write a book about all the customers and all the clients and what they do, you know. They do little funny things that I love.
You'd have to change the names to protect the innocent.
Oh, I would. I'd have to change the names. And I'd have to change the city.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't say Midland, Odessa,
no.
Big Spring, you know, Lubbock, La Mesa. I couldn't do that. I'd have to.
No.
You know.
It would have to be a fictional city that doesn't actually exist.
That's right. But they're great clients. We've had them a long time. I wouldn't have it any other way.
You could call it Faytown.
Wow. I'd rather have one more interesting title than that.
Well, you could have Faytown, and you could be the mayor of oh, how about Fayville? And then you could have Faymart, and you could even give yourself a 15% discount on all purchases.
There you go.
It's going too far. All right.
No, I would rather write a book about Bella.
Yeah. Oh, now that would
be a bestseller.
Yeah, it would.
Because she's so beautiful and so sweet. And
I've never seen
it. Somebody's always taking a picture of her and putting things under the caption that are just funnier than heck.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. It would have to be a picture book because, oh, my goodness.
It'd have to be a picture book. And the other morning, she was tired. She's laying on her back with her feet up in the air. And said, it's time for her morning nap.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And the picture with the ball in her mouth that you saw.
Yeah.
That was in training.
Oh, really? She was trained? Is she training?
No, she was having fun, but everybody said she's in training.
It looked like, she was perfectly posed. She was sitting there on the floor, posing with her head slightly tilted. You had a blue ball in her mouth, and
yeah.
So, what did you? I thought you maybe posed her, and I'm like, wow.
No, she did that her own. Sitting like that, and quickly took a picture. And we've got one says, "Mommy, I'm playing in the sand."
Yeah.
She loves sand also.
That is the cutest puppy I have ever seen in my life.
She is adorable.
Oh my word. Real quick, before we hit trivia, should we go over annuities real quick? Because that's another option for people as well.
That's right. And annuities, you know how I love annuities.
Yeah.
I love annuities because you can get income the rest of your life. I love it because right now we have bonus. You know, that 14% bonus is still holding, thank goodness. I love it. It starts you off with a great return that first year, plus whatever you make. The bonus is just a bonus. They're going to add that on for you coming on board. So you've got that. It's compound interest. You don't pay taxes on anything you put in an annuity till you start taking it out.
Mm.
So that's a good thing. You can have as many heirs as you want on it. You can stipulate they're going to get it monthly. They can cash it in and get it lump sum, whatever you want. But annuities have so many interesting parts. They're never in the stock market. they mirror the stock market, M-I-R-R-O-R, mirror the stock market. They're not ever in the stock market. That's why your principal is always safe. And if the stock market goes down, it has a lock on it, it just holds. It doesn't go down, it just sits there. If the stock market goes up, this will go up.
Wow.
And it's all indexes. Indexes are great. It's a lot better than being in mutual funds or stocks because you can change it once a year. And annuities are the greatest thing for people that are retiring.
Yeah, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to really do anything.
No, you don't have to do a thing. And you get paid once a year. Every year at the end of the year, interest is credited and locked in. It's not like a stock market where today it's here and today it may not be tomorrow. But this, once it's accredited to your account, it locks in. It'll be there forever. The next year, it's locked in again. And it's averaged about 10% the last 10 years. I had them send me a page of what all the indexes had made. And there's an average of 10. Some years, it was a lot less. But by the end of the 10th year, it had averaged out.
Wow.
And every index stands on its own. But it's a great way to invest. It's a safe way to invest. I think most people, if they're conservative, they should have some money in annuities.
Yeah. I would almost call annuities the unsung hero of the investment world. They just don't.
Well, it is, because even they've got some little fixed rate policies. For people that have been in CDs and want to go back to that type of deal, they always pay more than the banks, because I look at the banks to see what their CD rates are, and the fixed rate on this is always higher.
Mm. Wow.
So if a person just wants one of those to set aside for an elderly person, as I call them, you know, you can do 3 years, 5 years, or a 7 deal.
Wow.
But that's in addition to having the regular policies that pay the bigger money.
Yeah. So there's a ton of options, no matter how you want to go, whether whatever. If you want to stay conservative, you can either do life settlements, you can do annuities, you can do both, you can do a mix. I mean, there's so much flexibility with options and still not have to worry about, like you said, losing your principal. And that's the whole name of the game, is making sure that you hold on to that principal. And you don't want to go back to work at, you know, 75 or 80 when you should be out traveling the world. So.
Well, and, you know, the companies that I represent have been in business over 100 years.
Wow.
So we're not talking about some little old podunk company that started 3 years ago and may not be here tomorrow. We're talking about companies worth $60 to $80 billion, and their track record shows it.
Wow. That's just fantastic.
And they're owned by a company in Dallas, Texas, a family.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, it's just like, you know, I know that if you were to say, oh, this company's owned by a family in New Jersey, it would be different conversation.
They would know that wasn't the truth. I've never knowingly done business with somebody in New Jersey.
Yeah. Wow. You've been practicing the accent, haven't you?
That's right. I've been practicing that.
Oh, wow. This is Your
gosh.
Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
And your website is?
Oh, our website. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was ahead of myself. I was thinking about trivia. It's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
There we go. All right. Well,
I should not get ahead of myself sometimes.
I know it. All right. So since you brought it up, every Saturday at this time, we do trivia. So what is our topic today?
It's going to be about all these places that are haunted.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
And, you know, lots of times you should just go do a haunted house deal, you know, just for fun. You know, we have them all over Texas. I don't know how many there are. I think there's 20 haunted places in Texas.
Oh, my word. Really?
Yeah. Yes, there really is. Now, the one I want to talk about today is a historic Jefferson Hotel in Jefferson, Texas. That's over in East Texas for anybody out of state that wouldn't know. But most of the buildings in East Texas town of Jefferson has some type of paranormal history.
Wow.
But the Jefferson Hotel is considered the most active spot in town. It was a former cotton warehouse. They turned it into a hotel during the turn of the century, and ghostly happenings have occurred ever since.
Wow.
They report all kinds of weirdness, footsteps, laughter, strange shadows.
Ooh.
It gets downright malicious. A guest alleged they've been locked in rooms.
What?
Seen objects fly through the air.
Oh, my word. Oh, that's different.
Now then, if you really want a ghostly experience, you reserve room 19. It is the haunted room in the place.
Room 19.
And they say, local legend says his bride was jilted. She died in the room. She was left at the altar, and her spirit haunts it even today.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow.
And the hotel hangs a wedding dress in the room to help add to the ambiance.
Oh, my gosh. So they're just feeding into it.
They're into it. Let me tell you something. These East Texas people are thinking.
Yeah.
And you can check out haunted history in a lot of different places. And they've got several right there in Jefferson. You could go for the weekend and look at all the ones they've got there. And then in Grove, Texas, the Steely Young House is a historic home with over 100 years of haunted history.
Oh, my word. Ooh, so it's nice and old.
It has remained unchanged since the 1930s.
Really? See, now that's
yes.
Cool. It's great to see a remodel, but unchanged, I'm all over all about that.
Yeah, and over the decades, every owner has reported unexplained ghostly happenings, footsteps, they've had moans, moving objects, and a phantom woman are just some of it.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know how people
say
sleep
the woman is Minerva Fox Steele. She was the first owner of the house, and she follows a set path through the grounds, walking along the side of the house. Then she steps through a wall to cross the interior.
Oh, my word.
Her route lines up perfectly with the original layout. Can you imagine?
Really? Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I can't imagine, actually, staying there and seeing that in the middle of the night. No way.
And then there's a third one I want to mention, the Yorktown Memorial Hospital in Yorktown, Texas. Let me tell you something. This was a former drug and alcohol rehab place from 1951 to 1986. And they say it is really spooky.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's considered one of the most haunted places in Texas.
Oh, my.
There's unexpected noises, phantom figures, talking dolls.
No. See, now, spooky dolls, any dolls creep me out, but if they're spooky and talking and moving, no way, I'm out.
They have 200 photos of this place. They have the original nursery, original furnishings, and decrepit dolls.
Oh, my word. See, that just tears
so
me just thinking about it.
Yeah, if a person wants to go have a fun weekend and want to get scared to death, these are the places to go.
Yeah.
Remember, I told you I was going to have places for everybody to go all summer.
You did. I didn't know you were going to start with a bang like this.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you. That Jefferson Hotel.
Yeah, Jefferson, Texas, I would start with it.
Yeah.
You won't get quite as scared.
I feel like I have seen pictures of that. Isn't that like an old, oddly shaped brick building, or am I thinking of something else?
Well, it's an old, as you know, it's an old rehab place for people.
Mm.
And it's a two-story building. And it's spooky looking just from outside.
You see,
but, you know, think about it. It was a drug and alcohol rehab center.
Oh my gosh.
From the 50s. And can you imagine?
See, now I don't know that. See, if I know ahead of time that a place is haunted, I don't know. I don't know if that's just going to like feed into it for me, or if it's just going to make it work, or if I just like have no idea, blissfully unaware, go in and stay there, and then I wake up in the middle of the night with
spooky
things.
And all this
things.
Is happening. These spooky figures are floating around. And remember, the Grove has 100 years of haunted history.
Oh, my goodness.
100 years in that old house.
Yeah. See, now, just now, when you say it like that, it makes it even more spooky.
But remember, 100 years and all the people who've lived there and going through the garden and all this, you know, it would really be spooky.
Yeah. you know, I think probably the first thing I would think of is, okay, somebody's, you know, because he can do some really wonderful things with special effects. And so I'd be thinking, you know, is this real? And then I'd probably realize it actually probably is. And I ain't staying there. I'm not doing it.
Now, when the door locks, that would be scary.
Yeah.
And then objects are sailing through the air.
Yeah. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my. I mean, nobody wants to leave any letter openers or anything like that laying on a table.
No. And when they hang that wedding dress in there, that would do it, wouldn't it?
Yep. That would, just seeing that would be, just that alone would be spooky to me.
Oh, my gosh. It'd scare you half to death.
Yeah.
But look at the fun you'd have telling people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I went to the Jefferson Hotel. Or you went to the place in Grove, that house that's been there 100 frigging years.
Wow. I think I would start with the Jefferson Hotel. Now I'm kind of curious because I want to go see for myself, and I'd probably, you know, get out my phone.
If it can scare you.
Yeah. I'd probably take pictures and videos and whatever else people do, just to kind of see. Have you ever stayed at any of these places? You better stayed at a haunted place?
No, I haven't. Now, I could do it during the day, but I don't know about at night if I could make it through the night. I'd be under the bed probably. I would be under the bed the first time all this starts happening.
Oh, my. Yeah, you can't really walk in and say, hey, I'd like to reserve a room for tonight, but I'm going to check out by 4 in the afternoon. you got to stay
right.
through the night.
Yeah, it depends how tough you are.
Yeah.
Can you make it through the night there?
Yeah.
Oh. Get up in the morning like nothing happened. I doubt if you could.
Yeah. We've stayed in some spooky places before, and I have no intention of doing it again. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so what? You had three. Jefferson Hotel.
Jefferson, Texas. Yeah, you've got to make a reservation. Book a room at the Jefferson Hotel.
All right. And you said what? Room 19? Is the
yes room 19? You won't be there.
All right.
It is the haunted room.
Oh, good Lord! And then what are the other two? I'm going to write these
Grove.
Down.
Grove. The Grove. The house is the Grove and Jefferson also. Remember, Jefferson's got more haunted places than anybody in the world.
How can that be? I mean, what's
I don't
the
know.
Deal?
And they said most of the places have some kind of paranormal.
Stop saying it like that. You make it creepy. Wow.
And then this old hospital, I think, in Yorktown, I think would really be a place to go.
Yeah. I'm going to write that one down here, too. And that's going on the list. See, now, when you...
And it says, everybody's very friendly, very quiet, unassuming, with friendly folks, but head down Main Street, and you'll find something more sinister.
What? Did you practice talking spooky like this ahead of time? Wow.
There's nothing like getting scared.
Yeah.
It'll make you younger.
All right. Well,
yeah. Because you're going to jump out of your skin.
Yeah. Yeah. When they say everybody's nice and friendly, does that include the ghosts or
I don't know about the ghosts. The people are friendly, but the ghosts may not be.
Wow.
It depends how much you disturb them.
Yeah. I'll just keep to myself, please. Thank you.
Keep to yourself on your side of the road.
Yeah. So the summer tour list has begun. So here we go. We'll start with
it
paranormal.
It has begun. I think that everybody should do this and send me notes afterwards and tell me how scared you were or if you were scared.
Yeah. It does sound like fun. I really kind of want to do this, just because I want to see for myself.
I think it would be a lot of fun.
Me too. And if I take a picture or something and a creepy thing shows up, I'm gonna send it to you, and I'm gonna blame you first.
That's right. Blame me. You know, if you jump out of your skin, just blame me for it.
Yeah. And I probably won't be the only one. You'll get phone calls about that too.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's all right. You're prepared now.
I'm prepared now.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Wow. All right. So before we wrap up, we should probably talk about the risk, because we've been talking about how wonderful these types of conservative investments are. And they really are, because you've had so many people do these. You're in a number of these policies yourself, if there's room. So not only do you talk the talk, but you walk the walk. But there are a couple of things that people need to know, and these are, they're not that big of a deal, but they do, it is important to make people aware of it. So with a life settlement, what's the first risk?
The first one is, if it goes over, you would have to pay premium. So it's important that you know what the premium is going in. And if you look on that page, it used to be page 14. It's now at the back of the contract. It will give you all the information on that investment. It'll say, this is who you're investing in, this is the type of cancer, this is the face amount of the policy, this is what you're going to make. If it goes over, this is what it'll cost. So everything that you need to know is going to be on that page. It'll remind you of your investment, how much you're going to make, if it could go over, and what it would cost. So you always need to know what the premium is going in.
All right.
So that's one risk. The other risk is, remember, it is not liquid till it matures. Always remember that.
Now, when you talk about, you know, the what used to be page 14, when people look at this, they don't have to have a degree in science or anything else to be able to understand this. This is not something that requires, you know, some kind of medical background. Normal, regular people can see this and read it and understand it, right?
Absolutely.
All right. You said the risks, but what about accreditation in order to qualify?
You must be accredited to do a life settlement. It's a government regulation. You have to make either $200,000 a year, or you have to be worth $1 million, and that's without your house.
Okay. Either or, not both?
Not both, but one or the other, because you must be accredited to do this investment.
Okay. For annuities, it's not exactly the same as far as...
It's a lot different. You have to have money left at home. You can't put 100% of anything into an annuity. You have to have either a checking account, a savings account. You have to have money for emergencies. And then they're going to ask you, what is your living expenses? What is your income per month? And it better balance out.
Okay.
If you've got more expenses than you've got money, then that isn't going to work. But all of our clients do. You know, they have a good income. They owe nothing. So everything is, you know, A-OK.
All right. Otherwise, that's when you hit the strip in Vegas.
That's right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not judging.
That's right.
But as far as risk, there aren't really a ton with an annuity, are there? It just doesn't seem.
No, really not, because your principal's safe. We have to tell you that. It's guaranteed by the life insurance company. It's not FDIC insured because it's not a bank. But it's a better guarantee because it's a life insurance company that has billions of dollars. And they have to put up reserves. Every time they write a policy, a life insurance policy, they put up a reserve to cover it. So if all their life insurance policies came due, they could pay them.
Wow.
But that's not ever going to happen. But the ones that do, they pay us within 12 to 15 days.
Oh, my word. Wow, that's
fast. And we
fast.
Never have a problem. Once they get that death certificate, they pay like a slot machine.
Golly, I didn't.
We've never had a problem with anybody.
Yeah, I mean that's impressive. Not only do they pay quick, but just the fact that they have the reserves on hand and they don't have to say, well, give us 60 to 90 days and we'll go over here and we'll borrow some over here. None of that's even, it's like literally not.
No, and remember, all the checks are made out to Nevada Trust. They're the trustee. The checks come to the trustee and they put it in your bank account.
It's
as simple as it is. And, you know, we had an unfortunate deal happen this last week. One of our clients sent us a note and said, her husband was out on the ranch. He fell. He laid there for a day and a half.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Nobody should ever go out to a ranch by themselves or the farm or anywhere without somebody being able to find you. This is the second or third time I've heard of somebody getting hurt and there was nobody there. But what I was going to say, she wrote us a note. She had two policies that had just come due. And she'd made $160,000, I think it was.
Oh, my.
And she was afraid we'd mailed that check and that she might have missed it, and she didn't want to do that. But her husband handles all of her business. So we told her, no, you're not getting a check. It's already in the bank. It goes direct to the bank. You don't have to worry about the mail. And she didn't know that.
Wow.
Her husband had never told her how it worked.
Yeah. So is, and you have situations like that where, you know, maybe the husband, for example, does, you know, all the finances, he does all the investments, and, you know, maybe the rest of the family, either the wife or if they've got, you know, other people that need to know as well, are unaware. They don't really know how much they've made. They don't really know what happens or how the situation works. So sometimes it is, would you say, valuable to have everybody at least somewhat familiar with it. Maybe not an expert.
I think they should both know
exactly
how the money works, how they get paid, and how it goes in their account. Yes.
Okay. All right. So for people to get started, or if they want more information, they do need to call and set up an appointment and talk to you. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.